have your Bibles this morning, I want to draw your attention to one word this morning. It wasn't used in either of these verses. Young people, I want you to listen this morning very carefully. I want to read you the rules for teachers in 1901, Greene County School Board. You may not marry during the term of your contract. I like that one. Ah, that's good. You know, and I keep in mind, you know, your word was your bond, and so if you signed your contract, well, you can get married during the year. I understand that. I've lost 22 teachers and staff to marriage. I'm a little bitter about it, you know. Yeah, they didn't get married, all of them, during the term of their contract. I understand that. I like this one. School mistresses shall not keep company with men. And that would help out in the first one if you didn't do that. You must be home by the hour of 8 p.m. And I remember my mom told me nothing good happens after midnight. How many of you ever heard that? Well, apparently it got worse and worse and worse from 1901 to now, okay? 8 a.m., 8 p.m. You may not travel beyond the town limits without the written permission of the chairman of the board. Now, the purpose, because you get outside and there's all kinds of bad things can happen outside town limits. School mistresses may not ride in any carriage with a man unless he is her father or her brother. This is boys and girls that are teachers, men and women. You may not smoke or partake of any tobacco in any form. Not a good example. You may under no circumstances dye your hair. I like that. I personally think that's a good thing. No, kidding me. Schoolmasters shall wear a suit coat and suspenders. Always look nice in front of the children. Dresses should not be any shorter than 2 inches above the ankle. They were concerned about modesty. To keep the schoolroom neat and clean, you must sweep the floor at least once a day. Every teacher. You must scrub the floor at least once a week with hot, soapy water. And clean the backboards at least once a day. And start the fire at 7 a.m. so the room would be ready by 8 a.m. Now, the only reason I read that to you is we look back and we say, wow, things have changed. Let me draw your attention, because we sort of think that change is good and inevitable. Now, a lot of them are. I mean, how many of you are glad we don't ride? This week, they had a stagecoach up at the camp. Old stagecoach. 2 horses. I'd see the guy drive the 2 horses down, and he'd hitch them up to the stagecoach. Kids would get in there and they'd ride the stagecoach around, and it was a real old timey stagecoach. And so they'd ride it around and they'd wave to everybody, and you'd see them bounce up down and they'd wave to everybody. It was great. But you know what I found out? I like cars better. But I want you to understand something this morning. We as preachers have sort of failed in our responsibilities in many ways to protect the people that we love and serve. Because we haven't said much about what is sinful, right, and wrong. Now, I want to just take just a few minutes this morning. What is wrong and what is sin? Did you know there's a difference? Wrong is don't cross the double yellow line while you're driving. That's That's not written in Scripture. Now, I want you to follow with me. Now this is epimenism. Do you know what epimenism is? It is something that I read from Scripture and said, now, that makes sense to me, but it's not really written in Scripture clearly. But I think you'll all agree it is scriptural, absolutely beyond a doubt. Number one, there's first-degree sin. Now don't think I'm going heretical here. There's first-degree sin, that which is written. Now, let me read you some first-degree sins. If you have your Bible, turn me, if you would, to verse number 24 of Romans chapter 1. Now, remember this. I didn't write this page of Scripture. Okay? I want you to understand that. I didn't write it. But it hadn't changed in 5,000 years. Okay? Now, not this particular page, 2,000 years. But there are other passages in the Old Testament that back these up. Verse number 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to the uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. He said, so their hearts were very dirty, and God just backed away and gave up on them. Now, notice the list here. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. I don't have to tell you what that is. Verse number 26. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use to that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that error, recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind is a mind that does not consider what God thinks. I'm going to do what I want to do. It's very clear from that passage. Homosexualism is wrong. Now, we can legislate it, but we can't change what... Now, keep in mind, it's not wrong anymore. But it's still sin. The reason? Because God said so. Now, if you take God out of the equation, then it's only wrong to drive across the double yellow lines when nobody's on the other side, and you can cross the yellow lines. Read what I'm saying. I'm driving my car down the mountain, and I see the yellow line, and it's a lot easier just to sort of cut straight through. How many have ever done that? You know what I'm talking about? It's just a lot easier to cut straight through because the double yellow line follows the double edges of the road. And so, you know, man, you're going back and forth. And so if there's nobody coming, you can see. So you just kind of straighten it out a little bit. But that, according to the law, is wrong, okay? And now, it's also sin because, now follow with me, let's read, keep in mind, first degree sin. Notice verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, immoral sin before marriage, wickedness, just an evil heart, covetousness, wanting stuff that God doesn't want you to have, or wanting everything that your eye sees. Or never being content with what God's provided for you. Covetousness. It's prevalent in D.C. area, and it's probably in all of our hearts in this room. Notice, if you would, maliciousness. Full of envy. Well, I want what they got. Murder. Well, it happens 400 times in D.C., plus all over the world. Probably a million times. Debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. In other words, you're not supposed to whisper behind your parents' back. Now, that's first degree sin. Because it's written. You have to pardon me, the old devil's against me because my thing just fell apart. Didn't want me to read it. Backbiters. Talking about people behind their back. Hateful, despiteful, proud. Have you ever seen somebody make a basket and go around going, proud? First degree sin. Drive up in your new car, drive up in your new suit. I hope I don't drive that. Proud. Boasters. Did you see what I did this week at work? Hey, honey, I really did a good week this work. I mean, this week, I got a lot done this week at work. I mean, I really got more than my boss wanted me to get done. I mean, I really, I really did good. Honey, how'd you like that meal? I did good on that, didn't I? Boasters, inventors of evil things, dirty magazines. Hugh Hefner is going to have a special place where God's prepared for him. Inventors of evil things. First degree sin. Notice if you would. Wait a minute. Maybe that's not supposed to be in there. Disobedient to parents. What's that doing in there with inventors of evil things and haters of God? And, well, young people, I guess you're not supposed to be disobedient to your parents. First degree sin. I didn't write that, and you can't change it. As long as there's a God in heaven that puts the sun, moon, and stars in their place and calls them all by name and gives you breath in your lungs, then you and I have to look at it. Do I want to do right? And just say, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to do what's right. Or do I want to do wrong? Do I want to sin against the Lord? Disobey your parents. Well, my parents told me to be home at sudden touch time, but I got something else I want to do. Disobedience to parents. First degree sin. That will never change. Because it's written. Sin is what God says is wrong. Wrong is what man says is wrong. Now, second degree sin. We're going to finish up first degree and we'll get to second degree. Notice this. He says this in verse number 31, without understanding. It's when you don't try to understand somebody else in the situation they're in, so there's without understanding. They don't care. First degree sin. Bet you didn't know that. When you don't try to understand what your wife is thinking or your husband is thinking or your parents are thinking or even your children, when you don't try to understand, without understanding. Notice the next one. He says, covenant breakers. You don't pay your bills. Divorce. Without natural affection. You have children and you're really not too concerned if they do good or don't do good. Without natural affection. It's natural to care about your children. It's natural to care about your husband or your wife. It's not natural not to. You look at it and you say, well, I don't care what happens to you. That's not natural. First degree sin. Implacable, hard to get along with, just always got a better idea, just never really going along, never a supporter, implacable. Unmerciful. Now, I don't particularly like pets, but I don't think you should be mistreated in the least way. I mean, I rode a horse this week and enjoyed it very much. And you know, the horse would want to go right, and I'd want it to go left. And I'd say, you know, I'd tap her on the neck and take the reins and move them over. But, you know, she's got a bit in her mouth. I didn't jerk them over like I've seen some guys do. Unmerciful. It's written. Notice, if you would. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. So when we know what's right to do, first degree sin, we don't do it. So let's go back. You're not understanding of your mate. You're not loving towards your mate or your parents. You're not obedient to your parents. And so you know the judgment of God that He says, you know, if you do this, then I'm going to have to correct you. So then we look at it and say, well, I don't care. You fit in this category. And if you do that long enough and over and over and over again enough, the Lord pulls back and says, I'm done with you. And by the way, when you partake of the Lord's Supper on a Sunday night, as we have it every, at the end of the last Sunday night of the month, usually, we come in and partake of the Lord's Supper. If you come in and say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm going to do what I want to do, but I am thankful the Lord saved me. And so you partake of the Lord's Supper like that, God says, sometimes it makes you sick and sometimes it kills those people. You read it, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. God's not messing around. I think there's a lot of things that are happening that we don't realize this is the hand of God's judgment upon such and such and so forth. Because it's first degree sin. Now let me take second degree sin. A second degree sin is this. When God says, obey the laws of the land. Now, that's a principle. It's not written that thou shalt not cross the yellow line, but it's wrong because it's written in our driver's books. Or let's say, for instance, as I found out, I didn't think about it much. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I never parked in a handicapped spot. I never did. I never went out and parked in a handicapped spot because my wife and I weren't handicapped. But now I notice it. Isn't that something? Whenever you get in a boat, you sort of notice it. I notice when people pull up and run into a store and they pull up and they park in a handicapped spot and there's no sticker on the windshield and there's no tag on the tag and they jump up and run in there real quick and run back out. I notice that. Now, is that sin or is that wrong? Well, it's both because it's a second degree sin. It's not less important. It's just second degree because you have to work your way to get to it. In other words, it's not written there. Okay? If you say, well, I don't want to buy my tags. I don't want to pay my taxes. That's the first degree sin because Jesus said we've got to pay our taxes before so we don't offend anybody. But to get your car tags or to pay your personal property tax, you know, you look at it, those are first degree sins because they're written in Scripture. But a second degree sin is something that is written as a principle. And, you know, let's take just a minute. You don't run through a red light. I mean, how many of us have ever driven up to a red light, looked both ways? Nobody's there. It's lonely place. We just kept rolling right on through. Now, technically, that is a second degree sin because it's not written, thou shalt stop at every red light, but thou shalt obey the laws of the land. Okay, there are principles that are in Scripture that make wrong sin because God said it. And there are things that are wrong today and God didn't say it. So you could say it's not really sin, but it's wrong. Okay, so as we look at it, there's all kinds of things that in our lives we have to look at. Now, then there's third degree sin. Let me get you this one. Is it wrong when someone has, they're injured? Is it wrong, let's say, for instance, somebody here at church, and Brother Brandon gets sick, let's say, or a pastor gets sick, or Brock gets sick. Is it wrong if nobody prays for them, nobody cares about that? Is that wrong? Well, the Bible doesn't say, thou shalt pray for your pastor. There's no law in the land. James 4:17, third degree sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, let me ask this question. Is it sinful not to get your wife flowers on her anniversary? Is it sinful for you not to give her compliments or your husband to give you compliments during the course of the week? Is it sinful? I would say yes. When we only think about ourselves and we don't think about somebody else, I want to treat her good, I want to treat him good, and so we get all caught up in ourselves, you can say, well, where is that written? A young person says, where is it written I got to be in at 8 o'clock at night? I'm a teacher in 1901. Where does it say I got to be in at 8 o'clock in the Bible? Well, it doesn't. But if authority says it, that makes it sin. Because God backs authority, period. So when we look at life, we've got everybody questioning everything. I mean, we've got a questioning all kinds of stuff that's going on. Is it right to do this? Is it right to do that? And right is a government word many times. Sin is God's word. And many times sin covers over right and makes right something God said, covers wrong and makes something God said that's sinful because I said obey the laws of the land. The Bible says, by the way, in Romans chapter 12, he does not carry the sword in vain, speaking of the government. So understand, there are things about that that we have to look at and say, no, this is wrong, but it's also sin. Now, first degree sin, that which is written. Did you know that about 50% or 60% of all couples getting married now live together first? First degree sin. Now, it's common. It's not right. Nor is it pleasing to God. It's sinful. Now, back up. Nowhere does it say that it's wrong. We'd have a law against it. So it's something you can do and not be wrong. But it's something you can do and bring God's wrath down upon you because it's sinful. So there are some things that are not written in Scripture. Is it written in Scripture that I have to spend time with my wife? Answer is no, necessarily. But to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it's sin. So you know why I think it's happening? I think in our society, our marriage struggles, our children struggle, because we've erased all the lines. And so our young people say, what's wrong with that? There's just some things that make common sense. You tell your children you need to be in by 11 o'clock. That's sin if it's 11:01. Yeah, but Pastor, that's not, you know, come on. No, listen, if you obey your parents, you get this heart to say, I want to please my parents. It transfers right over to I want to please the Lord. What can you get away with? You can get away with a lot. Now, I just want to draw your attention. I want to take you to a couple of circumstances and show you what happens. Now that's what sin is. And you know what? You have to look at it. And let me give you an example. I'll give you an example today. I drive up. Is it wrong for me? Now you tell me. You tell me if this is wrong for me. My wife likes, we have one of those little Keurig coffee things. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, a Keurig coffee thing? Okay. I come down the stairs. I've got two good legs. She's trying to come down the elevator, trying to get down, and it takes her twice as long, three times as long to get dressed as it does me. Okay? Four times as long as it does to get me. And it's always taking twice as long. Always. Because she's a girl and I'm a guy. It always takes her twice as long. But now, you know, it takes her a lot longer than that. So I come down and I look over it and I see the Keurig's got that much water in it. And it's off. Now I know she likes that. So I looked right at it and I said, do I need to fill that up or do I not? Is that sinful if I don't do that for her? I think it is. So I went over, got the thing, poured it out, filled it up with the stuff and turned it on for her. She came down and I didn't say anything to her about it, but she got her drink and went out. And so she's getting in the car. And have you ever tried to get in the car and you're trying to get out of your wheelchair and you're trying to, now you know women, they've got a purse. They got a purse and they got a Bible. And now my wife has got coffee. So she's got a purse, Bible, and coffee. And she's got her finger on the stick and she's in a wheelchair. So I'm watching this. Now, is it sinful for me to say, I hope she gets in all right and doesn't spill anything on her? Is that sinful? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So you see your mother come home from the grocery store and she's got 4,000 bags of groceries in the back seat and the whole van's full. And you're a teenage boy and you walk in and you say, wow, she's got a lot of work to do. I got to go to my bedroom. Is that sinful? Yes, it is. Because to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's not written, but it's still righteous, and it's something good to do. And we've completely bypassed number three. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In this area, we bypass the fact that somebody, if you want to get a chance to be a blessing to somebody, see somebody having a baby, I want to take them a pie. That's not the best thing in the world probably for them, but you're going to just take them over a pie, okay? And so you see somebody that's maybe their husband's out of town. We've got a lady in this room. We're going to have the Holston. Brother Holston's going to be gone for a period of time. He's going to be overseas. And so does it matter if we think about, Veronica, does it matter if we think about the other people whose husbands are gone defending us in the military? It's not wrong. Where does the Bible say thou shalt try to think about other people whenever their husbands are gone? Where does the Bible say that? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We're so caught up with ourselves. My wife's working out wheelchair, going out and over, trying to get in the car, and she's over there, and I says, hey, let me get the drink for you. Now, and I've got ulterior reasons, you know, because I see that drink going over, and I see it going like this, and I see it, I'm going to have to clean up the car. Let me help that for you, please. I grab it and put it in the coffee cup, the little holder there, and she rolls over. She gets in the car, and I move the little thing back and the wheelchair back and close the door. And I look like a real nice husband, and, you know, I get in the car, and you know, I sit down in the car this morning, and I sit down in the car, and I reach over, turn the key off. She says, you know, I forgot my jewelry. Could you get me that little, I got a little bracelet. Would you run upstairs and get me that little bracelet? And I look at it, and I say, where is it written? You want to have a sweet marriage? You want to have a sweet home? I think it is written. To him that doeth to do good and doeth it not, to him to sin. And that's why, young people, I think there's a lot of things written in Scripture that you guys just buy right past over. Disobedience to parents. Where does it say mom said I had to do the dishes tonight? It was last night. I think there's a lot of things that you and I are sinning against the Lord because we're not thoughtful of other people. We've only got our attention on ourselves. Whenever someone we love likes something or delights in something, we don't think about them. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Third degree sin. But I would remind you that sin is sin and God hates all sin. Oh, sure, there's a different penalty for murder than there is for not opening your wife's door. But I think our marriages are slowly but surely deteriorating because we don't think about the third degree sin. I want to take care of my wife. I want to help with this. Now, my situation is a little bit different. I ought to do it. And I'm thinking about it. I should be doing things like that. But so should you. And you wives, you should be thinking about your husbands and cleaning their clothes and helping them out. And honey, how can I help you? She's a helpmate. But where does the Bible define what a helpmate does? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. How many times you wash your parents' car? Is that good or is it not good? How many times do you help your mom wash the dishes? Is that good or not good? We've got a society that says, where is it written? I mean, understand there's a God in heaven that looks at us and says, I want to love you, Lord, and I want to do everything you want me to do. In order for a missionary to go to the mission field, it ought not to be that the missionary says, okay, Lord, how long do I have to go? Why do I have to go? Where's the love in that? You go to school and, okay, teacher, why do I have to do my homework? Where's the love for God in all this stuff? We've missed it. Now, let me tell you the fruit of this very quickly. Now, I'm already out of time, but I just want you to see two quick words. Turn to Luke chapter 15, if you would. Luke chapter 15, and I just want you to see a couple of words here. And I want you to notice, and then we're going to close out with just a couple of verses. But I want you to notice Luke chapter 15. I want you to see this. Notice with me, if you would. You see the word, Luke chapter 15 and verse number 12. And the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods. Notice he says the portion of goods that follows to me. Did you know it was not illegal in their day for a teenager to say, Dad, give me my half of my inheritance now? Now, the father could have said, no, I'm not going to do it. But you know, his son's heart was already wicked. It was already gone. He knew what was going to happen with it, and there was nothing he could do to help his boy except just give him what he wanted and let the Lord work on his heart. So you notice what happens? He divided the portion unto him, verse 12, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Why do you think he went to a far country? To get away from his dad telling him what to do. To get away from all authority. Now notice the next phrase. He says, and they're wasted is something. Now, the word wasted is the word for spending, and literally getting nothing in return. Wasted. It's throwing seed out and knowing you're going to get nothing in return. So he wasted it. And you'll notice it's to throw away and get nothing back of value. It's to squander. Now, then I want you to notice one more little word. Notice if you would, down in verse number 13, same phrase, it says, with riotous living. Now, riotous living is something all of us in our flesh would like to be able to do when I say that. It is living with no limits. I'd like to just have no limits. I'd like to go to the mall and have no limits. I'd like to be able to get in my car and not discipline my eyes because of all the women in the world or all the husbands in the world or the men in the world. I'd like to be able to just get it and have no limits. Bringing in captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maiden? Where in the world are the Christians to say, I want to do what's right and I want to please my Heavenly Father? It goes a lot farther than what is written. But if you want to be happy in the Christian life, if you want to be a joyful Christian, then you've got to stop with, where is it written? Where is the principle? Lord, I want to do anything I think might remotely be good for you. We don't have those kind of Christians. We don't have those kind of husbands. We don't have those kind of wives. And we certainly don't have those kind of young people. There's another passage where it says, unthankful. Didn't read it. I just read you one little list. Now, you can go by the list of the world, and there's very few things on the list of the world except everything God's against. It's on the list of the world. I mean, whenever we can't figure out what a family is, what a marriage is, a wife, a husband, two men, two women, when we can't figure that out, pretty soon it's going to be, well, I'm not even going to say it. You know, we are so warped that we say, what about, why can I do whatever I want? No limits. That's this word, riotous living. And he threw it all away. Now, I want to challenge you today. There is, number one, what is sin? Number two, what sin will do to you. It'll take you farther than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. And it will ruin your life. And there's many a man that said, look, I can look at other women if I want to. No, you cannot. I can read other books if I want to. I can see books. And no, you cannot. Not if you want to please the Lord. If you want to just be an American, you can do all those things. I mean, if you want to be American, do you have to stand when the flag comes? Do you have to salute the flag? No, you don't. Can you burn the flag? Yes, you can. But is that right? The answer is yes. You're right. But is it sin? Yes. So we've got to start looking at our lives and say, Lord, what can I do to please you? Raise the level where you're not looking. Is it first degree, second degree, third degree sin? Pippinism, remember I told you. Where are the Christians who say, Lord, I want to do everything I can to please you. What can I do? You stop looking for the cracks. I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. You start saying, Lord, what can I do to please you? And it'll keep you from being ruined. It'll protect you from having a bad home. It'll help you marry the right girl, the right boy. God will give you the right job, the right direction. He'll put you on the right path. But it's a choice. Notice, if you would, verse number 17. And I want you to just see this. So he can't find a job now. He's wasted everything with riotous living. He's wasted all of his money, and he's got credit card debt out his ears. He can't pay it all. He's called the credit card companies. I said, sorry, buddy, but you're too deep in debt. We can't even help you. And so all of a sudden now he says, what am I going to do? He said, I got to go out and get a job. So he goes out and tries to find a job, puts his name out, can't get anything. He finds one farmer that says, hey, I got some pigs that need to be fed. You could do that for me. And he said, oh, I don't know how much I can pay you, but if you go pay, he said, I'll take it. So he goes out there and he's slopping the hogs. How many of you know what you slop the hogs with? How many know what that is? Let me tell you what it is. It's with everything left over from everything you've got. It's biscuits that are left over. It is corn cobs. It's got a little bit of corn left on it. It's shucks. It is old apples. It is old. It could be even rotten tomatoes. It could be everything. You got green beans. You just throw it all in there, and you take it out and you slop the hogs with it. And so he saw this corn on the cob and four or five grains on it. He got down in there and he got that corn on the cob and he took a little mud off of it. He says, "Why does that look good?" And he looked at himself and says, "What am I doing?" There's been many a guy that has a sweet wife that he's gotten real negative toward, a sweet husband, and she's got real negative toward him. But they got good parents, and they look at their parents and say, man, why didn't God give me somebody different? And they get negative and critical and miserable. Well, we got a good church, we got a good music director, we got a good choir, and we get negative and miserable. And you know what? We don't like anything, and pretty soon we're on this road down, and you're going to have to get in the pig pen until you come to yourself and say, wait a minute. Sin took me farther than I wanted to go. I know it's not written. How many of you ever had a car that was faithful? Wasn't quite as pretty, wasn't quite as nice, but it always started and always took care of you, and you sold it to get something a little better. How many of you have done that, aside from me? Raise your hand. Okay, you can see people. And we look back and we want to kick ourselves and say, why did I do that? It was paid for. It wasn't quite as nice as that new shiny thing there. But, boy, it sure did run good. You see, covetousness always has eyes that's looking for more, bigger, and better. It's never content. So how did he fix it? Verse number 18, wait a minute, verse 17. How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to eat and have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I've played the fool. I will rise and go to my father. Notice this, get the order. I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against, who's first? Heaven. Was it sinful for him to ask for his inheritance? No. Was his attitude wrong? Give me. Yes. Where is it written? Third degree sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so because he forced God's hand, God pulled back and said, have it your own way. He lost it all. And then he comes to himself and says, what have I done? And he goes back and he says, Dad, I got something to tell you. I've sinned against, Lord, I've sinned against you most of all. And he called it a sin. What he did to his dad and what he did to the Lord. Because it was. Might have been third degree. Yeah, the riotous living was second degree. And probably a lot of it was first degree. Because if you notice down in verse number 30, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. So he did a lot of first degree sins. The only way to stop sin. Now listen very carefully. What is sin? Everything written. Every principle written. And that which you know to do good and don't do it. What does sin do to you? It'll ruin you. What can you do to sin? Stop it in its tracks. How do you do that? Lord, I don't want this anymore. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Honey, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I really haven't taken care of you like I should have. What? It may have gone so far they don't even expect anything anymore. I was in Denver this week, and I was reminded says, brother, was 52 when he got saved. I was standing there at camp, and a boy came up to me after church. He came up to me and gave me a big hug. I said, I just want you to know I got saved last night. And Susan's brother stepped up. I just want you to know I got saved at camp 6 years ago. Changed my life. 52 years of riotous living. Her brother had a page. One day came and he says, I'd like to get out of debt. Would you help me? I said, sure. It came to me, and it came to me with a legal sheet of paper, 44 creditors. He got saved. He owns his own business. Every time we went out to dinner, his pastor said, can we go together? He's got a church that he loves, a church that loves him. He cannot sing in front of the church without weeping almost. Because he looks back. I'm 30 miles up this road like this. He went and worked all day, and every service he was there. Scott, you don't have to come up here. I know, but I want to. You know what? One thing about sin, it can be stopped. But you've got to say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. And turn your back on it. It was a young person after young person. I got the wrong friends, and when I get home, I got to get right friends. And there was one little boy, he came forward and he got saved. And his counselor came up to him and said, I just want you to know something. He's got a hard time when he goes back. His mother left, and his father was so distraught in front of the kids, he took a knife and started to cut his face off. Anybody here like that? Better thank the Lord for your parents. There were those men there that said, you know, just pray for my church. You know, our pastor ran off with this person and that person. And you know, and our church is in disarray. And you know, it just please pray for us. And the kids are discouraged. And you know, I saw my dad who was the pastor. He's all living with this woman now and married to this person. And it was just so confusing. And I said, I'm so sorry. Somebody. Some generation of people, some group of people, some youth group has got to stand up and say, stop it right here. I'm going to love my wife no matter what. I'm going to love my husband no matter what. I'm going to love my parents no matter what. If they don't give me those Air Nike Jordans that bounce all over when I go, I'm going to love them anyway. If they don't give me a new car when I graduate, I'm going to love them anyway. If my husband doesn't let me go shopping whenever I want to, I'm going to love him anyway. If she doesn't fix the kind of food that I like and she doesn't do this, I'm going to love her anyway. Where are the Christians that say, wait a minute, I want to stop sin right here and I'm going to enjoy what God has given to me. I'm going to be content and Lord, I want to serve you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. The missionary that was there was an electrician. He'd gotten a job in the Philippine Islands and he was working there and serving, and I know I'm past time, and I apologize. If you pull the little stem out on your watch, you'll never know the difference. And so he's on the island. He's been there for 6 months working for the government, and he's going out to these islands. He's working with government institutions, and he's doing electrical work and this panel and that panel. And all of a sudden, he turns around, looks around, and he sees all these people, and he sees them lost. But it affects his heart. He goes back, and he tells his wife, he said, you know what, honey? There's people in this world that don't have it like we do. He's making $80,000, $90,000 a year, $100,000 a year. He says, you know what? Wow. So he comes back home, and then he goes back as an electrician again, another 6 months, and then he's got some time. He goes out to other islands, and then he goes around the Philippines, and he sees thousands of people. And he smelled something. He went up to the dump, and there were 92,000 people living in the dump. And there's three independent Baptist churches in the dump. Pastors and their wives living there. Would you do that for Jesus? we're spoiled. We don't even pray for each other. We don't love each other like we ought. We don't talk good about each other. Backbiters, whisperers. Especially within our families. I just want to remind you today, you can stop sin. If you know somebody that can't, pray for them. God can help them stop sin. When I saw Scott come up to me and give me a big hug, when I watched him come up to that teenage boy and say, I got saved too. I just want to close with this. What Scott did not say was the reason he weeps every time he prays, every time he sings. I wasted 52 years. It's gone. I can't get it back. Young people, you haven't wasted it. You got your whole life in front of you. Moms and dads, singles, you got time. Yes, sir, Pastor, I'm 78 years old. So is Dr. Sisk. So is Mrs. Sisk. I walked up and I saw a man sitting in the back row, had an old cane. His wife was all bent over, 93 years old. He was like this. And I remember growing up, he pastored Bruton Road Baptist Church for 25 years. He'd been preaching at that camp for 60 years in a row. And he said, Sonny, I don't know what's happening to this old world. We need to love the Lord more. Where? I'm planning on being just like that. When I'm 95, if I'm still breathing, I expect some of you to start doing what's right sooner rather than later, because the price is too high to wait. Get you a prayer list. Pray for every one of the young people. Put a hedge between them and the world. You know somebody in the church having a hard time? Get a prayer list. Spend some time praying for them. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Have fun. Go golfing. Retire. Go do whatever you want to do. But for all this, God will bring thee into judgment and say, I gave you 24 hours in a day. What did you do with it? Forget your age. I see a 90-something-year-old man still praying for people that can't. Lord, let me be like that. Life is never finished. We got VBS coming up. I would hope that Brother Brandon would say, hey, stop. That's enough. I got enough people. But it's not. Tim that knoweth to do good, doeth it not. Tim that is sin. I just pictured that choir at camp with 200 and some odd kids in it and 30 kids out there. Mostly adults, workers. So, Lord, give us that. Give us where people say, let me do something. Let me do something. Let me do something. Invest your life. Don't waste it with righteous living. Don't use the word waste. Throw your seed with no spiritual return. Today, cut a plea with you. Don't be like Scott. He's doing what's right, has the joy of the Lord. He's growing in Christ. But every time he thinks about his family, he starts to weep. Every time he turns around and looks back, he starts to weep. Why do you think he called my wife his sister 3 times a day? Because I want to be like that. Don't waste your life from this day forward. Let's bow his word of prayer. I'll ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Have thine own way, Lord. We'll not play long. I apologize for going so long this morning. But